Well, for a few minutes this evening, I'd like to continue again with the subject that we spoke on last week, that of faith. It has been much on my mind during the week, and I believe that perhaps there was more that could and should have been said, and therefore I would ask your attention to the same subject tonight. And we'll read two portions of Scripture. To begin with, the first in Mark chapter 5, verses 25 to 34. So that's Mark chapter 5, from verse 25 to verse 34. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. And she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. And the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague." Now, the second reading I'd like to draw your attention to is in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, reading from verse 21 to verse 28. Matthew chapter 15. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Last week we looked into chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, and there was one verse in there which has stuck with me for the last few days, and that is found in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. So. And it's looking at the two passages that we've read, bearing in mind what is written here in verse 6 of chapter 11 of Hebrews. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Just to remind ourselves from last week, we looked at three things. First of all, we looked at what faith is. And secondly, we looked at how faith is obtained. And thirdly, we looked at how do we know if we have this faith. And if we just quickly look at that again with regard to what is faith, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith, in its definition as it is used here, is that we it is to believe on the veracity and credibility and trustworthiness of the one who speaks in the scriptures. It is an inner persuasion which is always based on what God has said. Then we looked at how faith is obtained, and in Romans chapter 7 we mentioned that faith, in Romans chapter 10 verse 17, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And thirdly, we looked at how do we know if we have this faith. And it's this section, that I would like to look into a little bit further this evening. Because faith is not passive. Faith must be acted upon. If it's true faith, it will bring out and it will have a consequence which will be to the glory of God. Faith will look and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And this faith is imparted to us by the work of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, who takes the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, the words of this book, the written word, and shows them to us, reveals them to us, which was the promise which the Saviour made before he left to go to Calvary. And so as we think of that now, as we consider it further, we look at this woman who came to the Lord Jesus Christ for healing of the sickness that she had. And in fact, as we consider it, she had, before she came, she had faith. If she hadn't had faith, she would never have come at all. And that faith was based on what she had heard of this one, and what she had heard of him. She had heard that Jesus was in the vicinity, and that it was Jesus she believed. It had been revealed to her. She had faith that this one was the only one that could do her any good, that could benefit her. She'd spent all her money. She'd spent her time seeking a remedy for the sickness that she had, for it not to be helped at all. In fact, the scriptures tell us she seemed to get worse. Now it's not wrong that we should seek the help of medical people, because God has provided them for us. But this woman had come to the end of everything. There was one and one alone who could help her. And she, as she came, she had a firm persuasion given to her by the Holy Spirit that even if she could only just touch his clothes, she would be made holy. Now, what a thing. Here she is, this woman. We're not given any detail of who she was, where she was from, or anything of that nature. And in fact, she was somebody who was probably in the eyes of the world of no consequence. But she came. And around the Lord Jesus at this time, we're told that there was a great number of people. They thronged him. But there was only one who came to the Lord Jesus at that time for help. She, the others, they may have heard. They may have heard the same things that she had, and probably did, but they didn't have the need that she had. She had a need which needed to be satisfied. And so she came, and she was determined, and she knew. It was a firm belief that she had that if she could just touch his garment, she would be made whole. And so it was. All the others that were there, she came, and she touched his garments, and immediately she knew that she had been cured of that sickness. And this, if we look at, if we think of the what it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, those that come to the Lord Jesus must believe that he is the Saviour, that he is the one who is able to do that which is most necessary for them. And it's and as we think of that, that this is what this woman did. She came with that faith. We're told that he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Not only that, but that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This woman, she pushed away through this throng. We don't know how many were there, whether it was hundreds, whether it was thousands, but she pushed her way through that she could touch the hem of his garment. But the continuation of that was that the Lord knew what had taken place. And despite all the ones that thronged him, he turned about and said, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" Because this was the only one that touched him. This lady was the only one to come with that faith, with that saving faith, to touch the Lord Jesus Christ. Despite all the others who were thronging him at the time. And he says, "Who touched me?" And those who were with him say, "How can you ask that? There's lots of people that are touching him." But it was one person who touched him, that virtue had gone out of him. And what was the result of that? The result that this woman, who was fearful and trembling, she came and she confessed to him exactly what she'd done and why she'd done it. Now, there is a principle here which is important for us to grasp, that the confession of what she'd done, the confession that she'd come to the one who alone could save her and help her, is true for all believers. We come to one who alone is able to save us from our sins. We confess him. That's what baptism is. Baptism is to confess the Lord Jesus Christ to the world. This woman in front of all these people, confessed what had taken place. Now, there's one or two other things I'd just like to highlight. This, in the account which is given to us here, it says that she felt that. And she spent. Sorry. She felt that she had been that a change had taken place, and that feeling was in fact a physical feeling of what had taken place in her body. And but it wasn't a feeling that she would be accepted. It was not a feeling that her faith had been accepted. And we must be careful when we look at what the scriptures talk about at these things. I just, in looking at this, I looked to see in the scriptures how many times the word feel, felt, feeling is used. And I have to tell you, in the whole of scripture, it's not used more than 15 times. And now we do use that, that terminology, that they feel of the state of their soul and their faith. But that's not what the scriptures base our faith upon. The scriptures base it on what we know. The scriptures tell us that those that believe know why? Because the Spirit of God has given them that firm persuasion in their own hearts. Many people talk about the feelings, but what we don't want is a religion of feelings. But we do want a feeling religion. And in that sense, it means a feeling is alive. You see, the words of Scripture, and if we look at the word know and you, is used well over 1,000 times in Scripture. And it's used in relation to the faith which individuals have. If we just think of that, we read in Job that Job, he states, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." He says, "I know." Now, to know is to be alive. Because the dead know not anything. To know is to be alive. And there's one thing for certain. Job did not feel that his Redeemer lived. In fact, Job, in his circumstances, was completely downcast. He had been stripped of everything. All his earthly goods, his family, had been stripped away from him. His wife told him to curse God and die. His friends came and accused him of many things. Consider what his feelings were. His feelings were such that he didn't know which way to turn, but he knew. And he states, "I know that my Redeemer lives." And And in this case, this woman, when she came to the Lord Jesus Christ, knew that he would be the one who could cure her of her sickness. And some people might think of it and say, well, of course, nowadays, people were cured of their sicknesses, we would believe what God has said. But that's not the case. If we read the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man, when he lifted up his eyes in hell, he says to Abraham, send somebody to speak to my brethren. And Abraham says, they've got Moses, they've got the prophets. If they don't hear them, then they won't hear any. And that's the same with us. If we don't hear what God says to us in his word, then there is nothing that will move the hearts of men and women. The fact that this woman and others were healed in the Gospels was to show who it was that was healing them. As we're told in Matthew chapter 9, in verses 2-6, where they brought a man who was sick with the palsy to the Lord Jesus. They carried him, lying on his bed. And the Lord says, when he sees him, he says, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven thee. And those that were there, the scribes, the Pharisees, they said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. But Jesus, who knew their thoughts, said, wherefore ye think ye in your hearts, for whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He then says to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go on to thy house. And we have this record. This record is left for us to show that it is through the words of the Lord, through the words of this book, and belief in these words, that those who have faith get increased faith. It's important that we think, as we think of it, that this faith implanted in this woman before she came to the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit had caused her to hear and to act upon the words which she had heard, that this one and this one alone could help her. And now, if we look at this woman of Canaan, she also heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. She'd heard of him, and she knew that he was the son of David. That's an amazing statement. This woman was she wasn't a Jew. She came from the coast of Tyre and Sidon. She wasn't of the Commonwealth of Israel, as it said. She was what was known in those days as a Gentile dog. This woman was. But she, by the Holy Spirit, had been brought to see and to know and to have faith in this one of whom she came, to know that he was David's greater son. She already had that faith before she came. Now, if you remember at the weekend with Dr. Oliver, he reminded us of what the Lord said. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And his disciples said, well, some say you're John the Baptist. some Elias, some Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. But then the Lord asks another question. But whom say ye that I am? And Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona. For flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. And here, with this woman, in not in the same language, but she knew that the one that she was coming to was the Son of God. She knew it. And she came. But what we also see here is that her faith was tried. She was discouraged. She was discouraged because she wasn't, no answer was given to her. And as she continues with that, she is the disciples besought the Lord to turn him away, to turn her away, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And here we see her faith, that she then came and worshipped him and said, Lord, help me. This woman who was from those who had no real contact with the Jews, certainly did not believe in the same way that the Jews, but this woman, she had this faith that she could do that. That she should do that. And when she said, Lord, help me, the Lord says, it's not meet to give the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. To you, what have you got to do with the Jews? And her answer was, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And this is what the Lord then says. O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. And she was made whole from that very hour. This woman from Tyre and Sidon and Canaan, she. And now, have you thought of this? These two women here, the one who we first spoke of, and this woman of Canaan. Do you know, for 2,000 years, they've been in the very presence of their Lord. These women, through this faith, which was given to them, imparted to them by the Holy Spirit. These women, when they passed from this time into eternity, 2,000 years ago, have been with the Lord all that time. What a glorious thought that this one who was born in Bethlehem, this one who was accounted nothing by the world, this one who the men looked at and said, well, he's a prophet, he's a good person. But she knew, or these women, they knew that he was more than that. He was God. He was the son of David, the greater son. And as a consequence, that faith would never fail. And they would for the whole of eternity. But we can say, for the past 2,000 years, that's where they've been. What a glorious thought that it is, that it should be, resting with the one who saved them. And we see that whilst this trial took place, this woman, she persevered. She persevered and came. And that's what we're told in Hebrews chapter 6, that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so it is. So it was with these women, that they diligently sought the Saviour. They were brought to know that the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, was their Saviour. But you know, faith will be tested. We read again in Job, where Job says in chapter 23, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." And so it is, that our faith will be tried. We must, if God by his Spirit has given us that faith, we must act upon what God has said. This woman, you know, when she came to touch the hem of his garment, if she'd have just thought, well, if I touch his garments, I'll be saved, but didn't do it, it would have been of no value. She had to act. She had to do it. And so must we. Where God, by his Spirit, shows us from his word what we should do, then we must act upon it. As, again, we read in he that cometh to God must believe that he is God, that it is God that speaks to us. And if it's God that speaks to us, it is incumbent upon us to act upon it, not to say, well, actually, I don't feel that relates to me. But if God has said it, we must act upon it. And we must be obedient to his word. We must live a life of faith. What is faith? Faith is a firm persuasion into what God has said. And here, God speaks through his word. This word, there is no addition to it. There is no subtraction from it. This is the word. Now, that's not to say it is when the Holy Spirit applies these things to our heart, then we must act. And so as we come to the end of this, I would just say this. May God help us. We who so often are tempted by unbelief, but that we may have that firm belief that God is our God, and through his word he will guide us into what he would have us to do, and that we should not be neglectful of those things. And we ask it for Jesus Christ's sake.